Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, July 2nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce is expected next week to meet Treasury and tax officials to discuss tax reform proposals designed to benefit the country's struggling manufacturing sector.
Industry is already on its knees. I mean, there's not that many businesses left. So I would urge, on a case-by-case, for Zimbabwe to assess whether these companies are actually viable, and if they are, to be given a chance.
Some Zimbabwean men have criticized First Lady Grace Mugabe for saying men are a big problem in Zimbabwe, as they always blame women for not bearing boys.
If you find somebody always pressing either the masculine or feminine side of a social life, that person is confused.
And the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission says it is worried about the recent disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara.
Confirmed this.
It appears there are times when politicians would lose their skin and they would want everyone, you know, under duress to follow them.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
The Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, or ZNCC, is expected next week to approach the Zimbabwe Revenue Authority and the Minister of Finance to discuss tax reform proposals designed to benefit the country's struggling manufacturing sector. This comes at a time when another deadline by ZIMRA for defaulting companies to pay up or negotiate a payment plan with the government expired June 30. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu as more.
ZIMRA Commissioner General Geshe Mpasi is threatening to descend heavily on companies that are defaulting on taxes as the latest deadline expired last month. Mpasi is proposing the tightening of legislation and attachment of properties for companies that have continued to default, though government has been extending deadlines since October last year. Newly elected ZNCC President David Norupiri says at the end of their annual conference Friday, they came up with a proposal for ZIMRA to change some tax laws and they will discuss it with government next week.
The government projects are becoming expensive simply because VAT is being charged, and in the process, the government is losing a lot of money because as it is now, private companies, they are charging VAT on government companies or on government projects. As a result, when they are paid by the project or by the government company, what basically happens is that some of the companies, they decide not to remit to ZIMRA. As a result, this is a government which would have lost a lot of money. So we said, look, it's better for government not to lose money. In a way, if those projects are not charged the VAT,
Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Busisa Moyo concurs, saying companies are struggling and ZIMRA's move might worsen the situation.
Industry is already on its knees. I mean, there's not that many businesses left. So I would urge, on a case-by-case, for ZIMRA to assess whether these companies are actually viable, and if they are, to be given a chance of rehabilitating, or because, you know, there is a reason why maybe they didn't take up the amnesty.
Moyo adds that they've also engaged ZIMRA to discuss ways to end the crisis.
Yes, we've engaged ZIMRA. We had ZIMRA at our annual general meeting earlier in May, where we spoke to the Commissioner General himself.
University of Zimbabwe Economics Professor Tony Hawkins says companies cannot pay taxes as the economic situation is worsening.
Many companies are struggling on a cash flow basis. Therefore, one would expect quite a high default rate in respect of taxation.
Hawkins says the government blueprint, Zim Asset, has failed to turn around the country's economy and there is no political will to revive the moribund economy.
Basically, we have a situation where the government has committed itself to a program, namely Zim Asset, which they see as the way ahead, which has very ambitious and, in fact, unreachable, unattainable targets, they're not going to be the politicians on both sides of the political fence, be it MDC or ZANU-PF, are more fixated on internal squabbles over succession or leadership or whatever it happens to be, rather than tackling the economy.
Noripiri, though, says sanctions imposed on Harare have had a negative impact on industries.
The other thing which we deliberated on were the issue of sanctions, which has really hurted this economy. We said as a chamber, we are also going to stand up, like what we have been always doing, to really lobby or find ways of also trying to make sure that the sanctions are removed.
Private companies are not the only ones defaulting, though. According to a recent report from the Auditor General's office, 15 state firms, including the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation and the National Railways of Zimbabwe, have failed to remit taxes to ZIMRA. The 15 public companies failed to remit close to $450,000 in tax arrears. According to the Daily News, early this year, Percy said ZIMRA was caught very disappointed, close quote, by the number of applications received, as most defaulters did not respond to the call to address outstanding dues. At the end of February, only 1,471 applications had been received versus over $1 billion owed to the authority in outstanding taxes. The amnesty is in respect to any non-compliance which occurred during the period beginning February 1, 2009 to September 30, 2014, according to ZIMRA. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
Some Zimbabwean men have criticized First Lady Grace Mugabe for saying men are a big problem in Zimbabwe, as they always blame women for not bearing boys. Mrs. Mugabe, who was officiating at the commissioning of a housing project in Kadoma yesterday, is quoted by state-controlled and private media organizations as also saying that most men are loose. Sometime last year, she lashed out at men who marry many wives, saying they were behaving like bulls. For perspective, Gibbs Dube of Studio 7 reached cultural activist Tandeko Zintimkandla, who is also a minister of religion. He says Mrs. Mugabe is daydreaming.
She's way, 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 way off the mark. Some of these things have nothing to do with gender. If you find somebody always stressing either the masculine or feminine side of a social life, that person is confused. These things are based on certain characteristics which have nothing to do with whether one is a male or female. Therefore, it is quite irrelevant, illogical, and way, way off the mark for you to say that men always think that they are right. That is wrong.
Mr. Mkandla, she went further to say that you know, whenever women don't bear children who are boys, men will always blame them for having problems. Is she right there?
No, I think she has been reading some very funny books based on fantasy. And I don't know what kind of man she has in mind who say that. Many men, especially these days, they accept that children are gift from God. And whether it's a boy or a girl, children are children, they're a blessing to even every family. How can you blame a woman as if she has the option of choosing whether she's going to give birth to a boy or a girl?
Now, she actually talked about, men having many wives, like 5, 6, up to 10, you know, and she says, what type of a man is that? Any reaction there?
Yes. See, I may not have more than one wife myself, but that is our culture. There is nothing uncultural and untoward about that. So if a man feels comfortable with that, it's not immoral, so to speak. It's something that is accepted. Yes, it may be frowned upon, but it's something that is part of our culture and part of our history.
And that was cultural activist Tandeko Zintimkandla, who's also a minister of religion. He was speaking with Studio 7 from Gwanda, Matabeleland and South Province.
Several men who talked to Studio 7 said Ms. Mugabe should stop attacking them. They said she should instead stick to her role as Zimbabwe's first lady of soothing the nation from any challenges. The First Lady appeared to have made the latest remarks in reference to alleged comments by Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana that girls as young as 12 can get married. Tomana has dismissed those allegations as misleading.
The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission told Parliament today it's concerned by the widespread human rights violations nationwide, saying most worrying is the disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara in March this year. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Commission Chairperson Elasto Mugwadi told the Senate Thematic Human Rights Committee it was worrying that a person can disappear in a highly security-sensitive country like Zimbabwe. Mugwadi said Dzamara's disappearance has put pressure on the commission, with the local and international community demanding answers.
I've received petitions from the international community, which now run into thousands, and I've stopped opening, you know, my email. Because I need almost 2 months, if not more, to go through them.
Mugwadi noted that there is need for government to step up security of citizens and to comply with the court order, which requires the police to furnish the court with results of its investigations fortnightly about Dzamara's disappearance. Harare-based human rights defender Dan Mochuma, who worked with Dzamara, commended the commission for raising the Dzamara issue with parliament.
The Human Rights Commission and the government must really act on this issue, because it is a really serious security issue. And failure to act, definitely it will be a threat to the security of the nation.
In a 2.5-hour testimony, Mugwadi said human rights violations were rampant in the prisons, in the Zimbabwe Prison Service, where there was overcrowding, inadequate food, poor sanitation and health facilities and services.
The prison has a holding capacity of 1,360 prisoners. That's the official permissible. But on the day of the visit, there were 2,270 inmates, which translates to 69.9% overcrowding.
He said politicians, among them parliamentarians, councillors and traditional chiefs, were among the worst human rights violators, adding that investigations in the June 10 parliamentary by-elections in Urungwe West confirmed this.
It appears there are times when politicians would lose their skin and they would want everyone, you know, under duress to follow them. And various methods and means are used which violate people's right to free choices of who they would want to vote to.
He said investigations by the commission revealed serious human rights violations in areas like Chingwizi and Cholocho following floods in these areas. Also worrying, Mugwadi said, was ignorance by many Zimbabweans that their rights were enshrined in the constitution. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights Projects officer Maureen Shonge said there was also need to finance and capacitate the commission so that it can discharge its mandate effectively. She said, reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The 2015 Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative Fellows ended its second week in the United States, with 500 fellows scattered around the country at their respective colleges and universities. Among them are the 30 Zimbabweans selected for the program. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to three of the yearly fellows, Napoleon Nyani, Munyaradzi Dodo, and Tinodiwa Zambe Makoni, who will give us an update on what's happening at Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia.
Let me start off with Tino. How has it been?
Well, it's been pretty awesome. Definitely more than expected. We're told that Atlanta is an awesome place to be, and we've been wowed since day one.
And also with you there in Atlanta is Napoleon Nyani.
Well, South, Pazinda. Well, Atlanta has been fantastic. It's been a great experience. The different cultures that you experience here, some of the things that we take for granted when we're at home and come here, and, you know, even the difference in language. Here you say, I want some water. Someone is like, excuse me, what? You're like, I want some water. And they're expecting you to say water.
And last but not least is Munyaradzi Dodo.
It's been a wonderful experience. I'm actually enjoying seeing a whole lot of black people in corridors of power who are doing successful things.
Tune in tomorrow to listen to this full interview with Tetinodiwa Zambe Makoni, Napoleon Nyani, and Munyaradzi Dodo on their current experience in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
Hundreds of former Chisumbanje Ethanol Project and Green Fuel Private Limited employees who were dismissed without following proper procedure have accused their former employer of unfair labor practices. This came out at a press conference jointly addressed by the Platform for Youth Development Trust and the former workers who were allegedly dismissed without following proper procedure. Studio 7 was not able to get a comment from the two companies.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
opposition parties clueless on unseating ZANU-PF.
And a closer look at legal documents protecting women.
Women need to bear their own will. The importance of having a will is that no one can actually stand up and say that she wanted this to be done.
Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The stage is set for a rematch of the 2011 FIFA Women's World Cup final, with the U.S. football team looking to avenge its loss to defending champions Japan.
Libya's Western-backed Prime Minister Abdullah Al-Tini says he is willing to sign a power-sharing deal with Islamists who have set up a rival government in Tripoli.
A Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras said Wednesday he's sticking with plans for a Sunday referendum on bailout terms demanded by European creditors, while voicing willingness to accept terms much like those his government has previously rejected.
U.S. President Barack Obama said Wednesday the United States and Cuba have agreed to re-establish diplomatic relations and plan to reopen embassies in Washington and Havana later this month in the latest move to end years of hostility between the two countries.
Islamic State is claiming responsibility for a massive terrorist attack on Egyptian army checkpoints on the Sinai Peninsula Wednesday, killing at least 64 soldiers.
And the United Nations Security Council has imposed sanctions on six military commanders from South Sudan for perpetuating the conflict there.
Zimbabwe's opposition parties seem to be clueless on how to wrestle power from President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party in the 2018 national elections following their lackluster performance in the June 10 parliamentary by-elections. As Thomas Chiripasi reports from Harare, the opposition parties are employing uncoordinated tactics in their bid to win the hearts of ordinary Zimbabweans.
Despite ignoring calls by the main opposition Movement for Democratic Change party to boycott the June 10th parliamentary by-elections for lack of democratic reforms, opposition parties like Transform Zimbabwe agreed that the electoral playing field remains tilted in favor of ZANU-PF. Transform Zimbabwe spokesperson Sungai Mazando says recent polls have taught them that more needs to be done in terms of creating a level electoral playing field ahead of any elections.
Electoral process was flawed with irregularities, which makes any statements that can be made from the figures that came out of the election a bit unfair. They need more scrutiny. I think in actual fact, opposition parties may have performed better than the numbers that were projected by ZEC.
Mazando says what is now needed is for all democratic forces to work together and stage protests to demand reforms ahead of future elections.
As opposition parties, we have tried to use the legal and justice system through the courts, and apparently nothing much has yielded. There remains another option, peaceful protests. These ones have not been tried, and we can actually put our heads together and go on the streets.
MDC Secretary General Douglas Monzora says Zimbabweans can dislodge ZANU-PF from power if they form a grand coalition.
Well, the MDC's position is that it welcomes the unity of purpose with all progressive forces. The only thing is what form that cooperation takes. But we have a big tent philosophy espoused by our president, and those who want to work with us are welcome.
MDC Renewal Team spokesperson Jacob Mafume says the engagement process must start now.
The danger in this country is the ZANU-PF led by Robert Mugabe and deputized by Emmerson Mnangagwa. All right-thinking Zimbabweans must fight to remove the hardships that these two men have caused. Once we have removed them, then we can begin talking about something else. But if we don't remove them together, we will perish.
But National Constitutional Assembly leader Love Momaduku says there are contestations of ideas among the existing opposition figures in the country at the moment, adding that his MCA will not be party to any coalition, at least for now.
It does not make sense to be in a coalition today and you are out of it tomorrow. It's better to be together when you are in agreement on major issues. If we are not in agreement, there is no purpose of going into a coalition.
Maduku adds that the existence of several parties is important in strengthening the country's democracy.
And I think the truth be told, people have so many differences. The best thing is to accept that there are differences and it might not work to put these people together. We are not the only country with so many opposition political parties. Other countries have solved it.
Solomon Makwati, who contested the just-ended polls as a Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe candidate for the Kambuzuma parliamentary seat, notes that a coalition for elections has its advantages and disadvantages.
Rallying and putting all our resources together, yeah, we might come up with a better result. But on the other side also, I've seen the electorate, as it stands now, it has left faith in certain sections of other parties. It's quite a tricky one, but I agree with you, there is power in numbers.
But a member of the Zimbabwe First Party, Buka Mangunda, says political parties should work for the betterment of the country's economy.
There's a big man syndrome in our political setup. That's the biggest problem that this nation has had.
ZAPU Vice President Emilia Mukaratirwa urged all opposition leaders to immediately open dialogue for a grand coalition as the 2018 elections draw close.
Yes, as ZAPU, we have always been open to a united front, and we still feel that it is the way forward.
Political analyst Ernest Mudzengi of the Media Center says opposition parties are continuously losing elections because they do not have enough resources to mount a strong campaign against ZANU-PF, which gets the lion's share under the Political Parties Finance Act. Mudzengi believes that even if the proposed grand coalition is mooted, the United Front of Democrats will not win the polls in the absence of key reforms.
When you look at the electoral playing field being uneven, when you look at how the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is literally in the hands of ZANU-PF, even a grand coalition cannot be able to mount a challenge against ZANU-PF that can result in them winning the elections. History can prove this. In 2008, ZANU-PF lost. But what did they do? They manipulated the electoral process. We stayed for almost a month or more without election results.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Shiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Tomorrow we will run a second part of this story. Don't miss it here on Studio 7.
The Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, or ZWLA, says women need to be empowered to know their rights in acquiring legal documents that protect them in the event of unseen circumstances. The organization's transformative justice manager, Tari Rotandi, says simple documents like personal identification cards, marriage certificates, title deeds, and wills are important to possess for women's protection. Tandi tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawie most women are unaware of free legal services that are available from organizations like hers and others that assist in drawing up these legal documents.
The marriage certificate is one document I would urge women to have, because when you have a marriage certificate, you find a better chance of having your rights protected within a marriage institution. And in having a marriage certificate, it's important for women to know that there are two marriages that can be registered within the courts of Zimbabwe. There's Chapter 5.11, which is a monogamous marriage, which allows for one man, one woman. So it's not a polygamous. But then there's also Chapter 5.07, which is potentially polygamous.
What about the issue where couples jointly own a property? What do you advise?
When it comes to issues of properties, what I would advise the women of Zimbabwe is that you need to co-own property. Gone are the days when you would just say, ah, well, it can be registered in my husband's name. It's actually better for you to actually ensure your name appears on the title deed.
And when it comes to the document, the will, which most people don't want to talk about, what would you advise women?
Women need to draw their own will. The importance of having a will is that whatever wishes you have, whatever your hopes, your aspirations, whatever it is that you want to be done with your property, that we have asked women to make sure their names appear on those properties, you actually will have saved it before you die. Because when you die, you're gone. And no one can actually stand up and say that she wanted this to be done.
That's Tari Rotandi of the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawie from Harare.
Meanwhile, Women of Dominion, which brings together thousands of Zimbabwean women living in the United States and abroad through interdenominational activities, starts today. It will this evening host an international conference in Cincinnati meant to spiritually and socially empower and equip Zimbabwean women living in the diaspora community. Women of Dominion's General Secretary, Pastor Rebecca Makai, tells Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira all is set for the conference that is bringing together more than 300 women for the four-day meeting.
Our mission is to spiritually and socially empower and equip women according to the word of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, saying that God created men and women in his image, and we are trying to empower women to take their dominion according to the word of God, to be fruitful, to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it.
How many women are you expecting to attend the summit or the conference?
We could, by end of the conference, be more than 300 people.
What is the theme of the conference and how many speakers do you have in general?
The theme of the conference is called Ebenezer, meaning this far the Lord has brought us. We are looking from when we started and where we are now. We just started like few women, but now we have gone all over. We have women coming all the way from Zimbabwe. We have all women coming all the way from UK. We have women coming from Canada, Australia, and all other nations. But who are Zimbabweans who are coming to be part of this conference? We have one main speaker, but we have got other speakers.
That was General Secretary Pastor Rebecca Makai of the Women in Dominion speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira from Cincinnati in South Carolina here in the United States.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our Women's Forum hosts Marvelous Mhlanganyawie and Praxidis Jeremiah will be talking with listeners and experts about the role of women in writing wills and other legal documents.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce is expected next week to meet Treasury and tax officials to discuss tax reform proposals designed to benefit the country's struggling manufacturing sector.
Some Zimbabwean men have criticized the First Lady Grace Mugabe for saying men are a big problem in Zimbabwe, as they always blame women for not bearing boys.
And the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission says it is worried about the recent disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.